Session number 3901, reel number 10.
Alan Lawson, reel number 10.
Then I travelled back to England by boat. I think I left Singapore, you know, just after Christmas Day or something like that. Landed back in England and was demobbed. Immediately after demob, I went to work for Marcus Cooper, who was contracted to make the post-war television demonstration film. At the completion of that, I was invited to be the BBC's first television film cameraman. I was made film cameraman, and I took on as my assistant George Rotner, who'd been my sergeant instructor in the first course. Then I was made senior film cameraman, and I was responsible for engaging or selecting the various other film cameramen who then started making the television film newsreel. From that, I then became, I suppose, in a way, an organizer. I was made film sequence manager. And from that, film sequence producer. Then I had a checkered career, actually, in the BBC. Then I went into Television Enterprises, and I was made a producer, a film producer in the film sense of the word. I was responsible for an overall budget, and we made English language teaching films, which was in conjunction with English by Radio. We made a whole series of films of those. In fact, we made two series of those. Two series of View and Teach, which was these were instructional films for teachers of English on how to teach English, which was a very interesting job indeed. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then ultimately I finished up because again, internal politics within the BBC. English by Radio became English by Radio and Television and took command of their own future, and BBC Television Enterprises were no longer involved, and I finished up making producing gramophone records for the BBC, which were for sale to the general public, I was retired 6 months after my 60th birthday, which was quite a concession. They bring the chop down quite heavily now at the age of 60. And that was the end of my professional career.
Did you remain politically active in the trade union sense during your time in the BBC?
At the beginning I did, yes. I was in the BBC, when I joined it, there was a what was called a staff association, and in the old language of trade unionists, it was what is known as a boss prop organisation. It was founded by the BBC to keep trade unions out of the BBC. And I went in and I started organising, and I very soon had a very, very large branch of ACT. But the TUC then stepped in and called a conference of all trade unions interested in the BBC. And for some godforsaken reason, we listened to them and we laid off. I don't know why, but the, again, internal trade union politics. And I was very, very cross, actually, about this altogether. However, it's come about that, in fact, the ABS, which was the organisation which I referred to as being BOSPROP, has now amalgamated with the ACT.
Was your own career affected, do you think, adversely by your interest in organising?
Well, I think in my organising aspect of trade unions, and I presume my political aspect, if you like, of the Communist Party, yes, it was, because I was refused establishment all for many, many, many years. And I can remember on one occasion my immediate superior said, "Ah, but you were in Spain," as if it was a crime. So I know this. I fought for a long time and ultimately was established, but I lost. Oh, I think I lost about 10 years establishment, which, you know, which affects one's pension. There we are.
Are you still a member of the Communist Party?
No. I'm not a card-carrying member of the Communist Party.
When did you leave?
I suppose it was a matter of not having the courage of my convictions to stay in, because I did have a family to support, and I didn't want that to, as it were, influence their lives, which it could well have done.
When did you leave?
I didn't. I just didn't renew my card. I mean, I support them still, although I'm not a card-carrying communist.
But was your ceasing to carry a card directly connected with your joining the establishment?
Oh, no. I realised I got driven into a most dreadful position. We were filming, I don't know, well, you wouldn't remember it probably, but we used to make Muffin the Mule films. They sometimes did them live, but most of the time we filmed them. And we were filming at Kay's Carlton Hill. And my own union had issued instructions to all film technicians that they were not to work with BBC personnel who were not members of the union. And I think of the crew, there was George Rotter and myself were the only members of the crew. The director wasn't a member. The continuity girl wasn't a member. I think the sound recordist wasn't a member. And this was we were in the middle of a Muffin the Mule, and I managed to persuade the people at Kay's Carlton Hill to let us finish that one film. We finished that one film. But I was very much in the doghouse, and they took it as a personal. They took it that I personally was responsible, you know, for this edict, and I realised then that I would have to be extremely careful. I mean, things in that particular time in the film industry were very dicey.
When was that?
Sure, 48, 49. They were very dicey, and I realised then that, you know, I had a wife, I had two children to support. I would have to be extremely careful what I did.
On balance, do you think that your time in the Army Film Unit was an advantage to your career?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was a disadvantage. I don't think it was an advantage. It was an experience which, I certainly don't regret. I certainly don't regret it. I'm one of these born optimists. Everything happens for the best. It so happens that because of the Army Film Unit, I finished up in the BBC, doing a job which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Thank you very much.
All right.